And if you've been with us, last Sunday we've been preaching through Revelation for quite some time. Brad spoke on Revelation 11, verses 1 to 14, and he was talking about the two witnesses and the prophetic witness of the church, which is called to bear witness of Jesus to the world. And here there will be many who will increasingly become hostile to the church. And they will try to silence and snuff out the vibrancy of the church. But the truth is the remnant, this church, will grow increasingly bold and vibrant in the last days and dependent on Jesus and his kingdom power. That was Revelation 11, 1 to 14. Jesus declared in Matthew 24 that the end will not happen until the gospel is preached to all nations. And so we're still in that place where the gospel is being preached to all nations, the testimony of Jesus and the hope of who he is, the Savior of all mankind. He also warns, Jesus warns in Matthew 24 to watch out for deception, watch out for the lies that will come in this place. Lies that will try to make the church inactive, try to make the church impoverished and useless. And we saw the realities of what the church looked like at the beginning of Revelations. If we look back at the very beginning of our time in Revelation, we walked through the letters to the churches, the seven letters. And this is the picture of the church today. It was speaking to that time and specific churches, but we can read that and go, yeah, there's relevancy here as we listen to these letters. Brad shared that there will be many antichrists in the reality, and in reality, we are living in a time which is kind of antichrist. We live in a nation that says your life is your own. Think of that message. Your life is your own. Everything that you have is because of what you've done. And success for you is for your own personal pleasure and gain, and to make you feel good and to realize that God has nothing to do with that equation. So it's kind of pushing God right out of the equation and saying, you are the success of who you are. Brad ended talking about a reward, that our greatest reward is eternity with God and with Jesus. And that momentary pain and suffering is just momentary pain and suffering. And not to compare that to the expanse of treasure that is stored up for us for all eternity. And so this morning we're going to continue in Revelation 11. And I wanted to name the sermon the pre-cosmic battle song. It sounded pretty amazing. But no, I went with just the seventh trumpet, the one who is. And I wanted to pause there because the one who is, and I'll get to that during the message. The seventh and final trumpet sound, the one who is roughly the middle of Revelation. Chapter 11 is the middle of the book. And I was struck by the fact that today and next month, we are dedicating children to God. We are dedicating them and promising to raise them in the truth and the hope that lies before us, which is Jesus. And the reality is that eternity is set before our children, and we're raising them with an eternal perspective, not just an earthly perspective, and that Jesus wins and true justice will happen. And so there is hope for all who believe. So let's stand together as we listen to Revelation 11, 15 to 19. We want to honor the word and the scripture. So the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of the Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your prophets and your saints and those who reverence your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who who destroy the earth. Then God's temple is opened, God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you reveal Jesus and you reveal the Father, that you cause our minds to understand, our hearts to comprehend the greatness of you, Jesus. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, and equip us, fill us with the knowledge and the wonder of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So here the seventh and final trumpet is sounded by the seventh angel, and the response is loud voices in heaven. And I was struck by that because we've been talking about symbolism in Revelation. And symbolism has kind of followed suit with us. If we've looked at the seven seals, it kind of correlates with the seven trumpets. And so this here is in stark contrast to the seventh seal being opened. Does anyone remember the seventh seal and what happened after it was opened? Silence. There was absolute silence after the seal was opened. But here, the seventh trumpet is sounded and there's not silence. But here is loud multitudes of people in heaven raising their voices, declaring that the kingdom of God and the world, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of the Christ, who will reign forever and ever. So I was thinking about these four verses. They can really be broken down to three parts, three declarations. A declaration that all things are made right, the declaration of rewards or wrath, and wrath, I should say, and the declaration that God is with us. Those are three declarations in these four verses. So I'm just going to go through these declarations. Declaration one is all things are made right. This heavenly declaration is saying the broken kingdom of the world, a world which is full of cravings of sinfulness, a world which views that the lusts of the eyes and the boastfulness of what one does and has is what shapes and defines humanity and your kingdom. And it shapes it with worth and pleasure, that you get your worth and pleasure in that place. But this is not how it should be in the kingdom of God, and which has now been replaced by the kingdom of the Lord and of the Christ. The good news here is the kingdom of God will reign, and Jesus will bring all things into right order. Here's the picture of that, he's making all things right. This is the answer, if you remember, the cries in chapter 6. These were the martyrs crying out for justice. They were crying out, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. And we walk that through. Here is the completion, the promise of that, that all things are made right and God's judgment and justice is good. This is the coming of Jesus, who on God's beckoning begins his rule and reign over all the earth. Right now, God's kingdom has already come, but it is yet to be fully fulfilled. It's kind of this waiting zone that we're in right now. God's kingdom has come, but it's not fully being reigned in this place. It's like someone is elected into a position of authority, and then you have to wait for the position to finally take its course and its reign. And I was reading this week that the Commonwealth heads of state, they met, and it was decided that the Prince Charles would succeed the Queen in due course as head of the honorary head of the Commonwealth. But this won't happen until she steps down or she passes away. And so essentially here, this is a waiting game. And that's the same as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come, but Jesus is not fully reigning. He has not taken the full reign over everything. So we wait. And as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are calling forth God's kingdom here on earth to be made manifest. We are praying that God's fulfillment would be established on earth as it is in heaven, and Jesus, the one who is the fulfillment of God's kingdom, will come with all authority, and this will change everything here. This is the answer of the shout of the angel who stood with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, representing all of creation, shouting out in Revelation 10:6-7, "There will be no more delay, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servant and the prophets. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign and rule forever and ever." The mystery of God accomplished in that very act. Which moves us to the second declaration, reward and wrath. Then we hear a response to the first declaration. The first declaration is shouting that the kingdom of God has come, replaced the kingdom of the world. And then there's a response. The response is from the 24 elders. The 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces, worshiped God, and gave thanks to the Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was. The one who is and who was. Sound familiar to a specific phrase that we've heard before? I see some nods. But there's something missing. Who is to come? That's missing here. It's a profound statement that Jesus has come in this place. No longer do they need to declare that he is to come, but he has come. Here the elders, the representatives of the redeemed church, acknowledge Jesus has taken his great power and begun to reign and rule in response to the nations who rage against God and his kingdom. It's the final trumpet blast that brings about victorious rejoicing. The wrath of God has finally come against injustice, against a broken world order, against God's enemies, and a reward is given to those who persevere in that place, who have stood firm in the gospel message of Jesus. And I can't help but think of a battle in the Old Testament, a battle of Jericho in this place. When the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets marched around Jericho for 6 days. They marched and blew the trumpet, but they didn't say a word. And the ark of the Lord was behind them, so God was with them. And each time that they sounded the trumpet was like a sound of warning. It's kind of like, wake up. If we read in Revelation, the sounds of the trumpets were, wake up. This is a warning for you to come and repent, to lay your life down. But even in that place, as we looked in Revelation, still the nations didn't repent, even in the things that were happening. But on the seventh day, after marching, after blowing the trumpet 7 times, the people shout and the walls come crashing in. The enemy is defeated. The enemies of God will experience his justice. Psalm 2 speaks of God's authority and of justice, and it is prophesied here in Psalm 2, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth shall take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, throw off their fetters." It goes on to say that the one enthroned in heaven laughs and scoffs at them and rebukes them in their anger, terrifying them with his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill." speaking of Jesus' rule and the Lord getting the last laugh, if we can say it that way. I have the last word in this place. To all those who don't bend their knee and tongue confess. We don't often want to think about judgment. I don't know if that's not my first place to go to. I'm a grace, love guy. Let's not talk about judgment. In our home, Paul is kind of like truth. And I'm kind of like grace. Here, come on, Phoebe. That's okay. And yet, God's truth is that there is judgment and that there is wrath. We're very polite Canadians in our culture, where we can often say God is only love and he's only this. And yet God in his love is also just and holy and true. And this is a reminder that anything unholy can't stand in front of the Lord and is separated from God's holiness. And I thought of the little scrolls that Brad talked about in chapter 10. You remember the scrolls that we kind of partook of, we ate as a symbol. And how the message of Jesus is sweet and wonderful. The message of God's love is amazing. It's transformative. It's beautiful. But there's more to that message than just that. There's a life submitted, a life handed over to Jesus. And sometimes that message will be too difficult for even the believer to understand and do. And it's definitely difficult for those who don't know Jesus, giving up all rights to follow after the one who saved us. So we will sing and give thanks and fall on our faces and worship God. And on that day when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Because on that day the Lord will take his power, the nations will no longer rage, the saints will be rewarded, and the wicked destroyed. And God himself will be with us. An eternal reward far greater than anything that we can imagine. Which leads us to the declaration 3, which is God with us, an invitation. Chapter 11 ends with God's temple in heaven being opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals, and of thunder and earthquake and a great hailstorm. And we know that that's a symbol of God's presence. Sometimes we think, oh, that's a terrifying picture, but it really is a symbol of God's presence. And God, John is seeing a vision of being taken further into God's presence. It's symbolically true in this place after all that has been said that now God is ushering him into a deeper presence with him. Here the Ark of the Covenant, the symbolic Holy of Holies, the presence of God, a reward. This was the physical manifestation of God's holy dwelling, the Ark of the Covenant, a promise that I will be with you. And John sees the door open so he can look right at the Ark. And there we see the best news for us. The best news that the kingdom of this world becoming fully the kingdom of God, and Jesus beginning to rule and reign, and God's fulfillment of his promise is complete that he, Emmanuel, is with us. So we rejoice. The Lord Jesus has been established as King of all kings. His submission and obedience unto death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead exalted him to the highest place. That's what elevated him to the highest place. God said, I will elevate you because of your submission and obedience. And we are now waiting for his ultimate rule and reign here on earth that will never cease, will never diminish. And this is an invitation for those who yet do not believe in Jesus Christ. I was looking at that and going, yeah, this is an invitation for those who don't know Jesus. This last trumpet sound is the last warning to those who don't believe, is the last call to repent, to come to realize God's sovereignty is just, and his desire is for all of us to believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the cleansing power of Jesus, who bore all of it, all of our sin and brokenness, who died, was buried, and who came to life on the third day, again victorious over death and sin. Here is the greatest treasure that awaits all humanity, the treasure of salvation. And surrendering their will over to the King of Kings, a glorious picture. So I'd like to end with reading Revelation 22, 12 to 17. That'll be on the, or if you guys want to stand again together. As I was thinking about an ending to these four verses, really thinking of Jesus who says, I'm coming again. And are you ready in that coming again? Are you ready to meet me face to face in that place? And so as we read this, you may examine your heart. Are you ready? Have you accepted the free gift of salvation? Or are you hearing the trumpet blast, the final warning, saying, will you surrender? Will you surrender and count the cost of salvation? You may not receive everything that you want here on earth, even after surrendering your life to the Lord. Life will still be a struggle, and you will face situations that will rock your faith. And yet Jesus didn't promise us security here. He didn't promise all the bells and whistles here. But he promises us all the bells and whistles in eternity, never being separated from him. And so if after we read this and you feel like God is stirring your heart and you would like prayer, even of submitting your life over to the Lord, we'll be here at the front to pray for you. This is also, if after reading this, we have a luncheon downstairs. I'd encourage you guys, leave this up front to be ministry. We can fellowship downstairs. So just make your way quietly downstairs after the reading of the word. So Revelation 22, 12 to 14. Reads, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you. We, the bride, say, come. We say, come, Jesus. Come, make your rule and reign. We long for the day that you are reigning for all eternity. We thank you for the ways that we have walked and said, wash us clean. I ask that you would draw us in these days to deeper repentance, deeper confession, and a deeper knowledge of you, Jesus. And we thank you for the love extended, God, that you extended your love through Jesus, the Word made flesh, to save all those who bend their knee and submit their life. So we ask that you would, Holy Spirit, move with the kindness of the Lord to bring repentance, and that we would all heed the seventh trumpet sound. I pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. And we also pray for a blessing over the food and our fellowship and what we partake of together as we break bread. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.